If we look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, we're gonna go over this a little bit, and then I'm going to give my best on it. But as we start reading, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Let it be spoken clearly tonight. Lord, let it be understood. Let our hearts hear it. Let it be implanted in our lives, which is what the word is for, so that we may use it to grow your kingdom. Lord, we thank you. Speak through me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So it says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are all the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. We hear a lot of talk about the last days. We've heard a lot of messages maybe in the past preached about the last days. Maybe not a lot of messages preached, but we hear a lot of talk saying, well, in the last days. That day's coming. We've heard about that, right? We've heard about the last days. So what does all that mean, the last days? I spoke to the teens Wednesday night a little bit about the last days out of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus was talking to his disciples, when in the last days all these things are going to happen. Well, here again in 2 Timothy, he's talking about the last days. All these things are going to happen. What's all that mean? Well, the last days have been talked about even in the Old Testament. It started in the Old Testament. If we look, I didn't have Vernon put these scriptures up, but I want to go through this quickly because this is not really all I'm going to talk about. In the end times, when it's talked about, we can look back in the book of Genesis, and the first talk about it was in chapter 49 of the book of Genesis, where it was talking about the old covenant going to end, okay? Jacob talked about that. And then Moses, in Deuteronomy 31:29, talks about the end of the old covenant as well. See, there was many covenants, okay? So in those covenants, when you go back and you read that, you'll read like, well, in the last days, it will say, this is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to Israel in the last days. And then the old covenant ends, and a new covenant starts. So the thought or the talk of that, the wording there, has been used even in the Old Testament since the first book. And Jeremiah 30:24 talks about the up-and-coming judgment, where Jeremiah have several prophecies in that part that is fulfilled, okay, about the coming of the Savior, okay, when you read about that. Now, I'm going through all this quickly because we're not having to just, this is just quick, okay? And some of those prophecies are about the first advent of Christ, even, which we're, you know, Christmas is coming. That was one of the prophecies that has been fulfilled, and it's talked about. Matthew chapter 2, 16 and 18, Jesus is born, which is referring to that in Jeremiah. In Galatians 4:4, at the end of the old covenant, a child would be born. those are those there. Jeremiah 30, 24, and 31, and also chapter 31 and 31 and 34 also predict the new covenant, a new world, at the end of the old covenant would come. In Hebrews also, chapter 8 refers to that again. See, so it's all intertwined. And that's what you find in the scripture. I'm sorry if I'm coughing a lot. You find that the Old Testament and the New Testament are intertwined. And when we study that and when we do all of our research on that, it is amazing to me. The things that they talk about in the New Testament that refer to the Old Testament, and if you don't read the Old Testament, you don't quite get it. So it's important to go back and read that and study, and I challenge you guys to do that. Also, Micah chapter 4 shows us Jesus was born in the last days of the Old Covenant. Also, Micah chapter 5, it says, which... is confirmed again also in Hebrews, or no, sorry, Matthew chapter 2. Isaiah again speaks also about the coming of the new covenant and the end of the old covenant, referring to Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. And isn't that interesting? Is this interesting to you? Now, we could go through a big long study about this, and I've actually studied quite a bit on the end times and different things. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28-32, it quotes by Peter in the book of Acts when it talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And, excuse me, I don't know why I'm all watered up here, but in Acts chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit would be poured out in the last days. That's in Acts. That's what Peter is telling them. It says it's going to happen. Well, that was a reference to Joel, referring to the last days. Now, we have a lot of questions. A lot of people ask questions about the last days. They don't understand. What's the last days? Have they started? Are we in the middle of them? I believe we are. We're in the middle of the last days. We're in it. Now, when is the last day? I don't know. Only the Father knows that, right? But we do know that we're in that last day. We're in that time. Excuse me. Second question. I hear all the time, well, the United States is not mentioned in the last days. Well, there's a lot of research that says that it is. Answer that question. I can answer that question pretty quick. We can look at in Daniel chapter 7 is probably the biggest one. If you have time, look at Daniel chapter 7, and it talks about the four beasts. And in the four beasts, I'm going to go through this real quick. The four beasts, we have a lion, a bear, and a leopard. And then the fourth beast is a part of a leopard, bear, lion, with 10 horns. Okay, it talks about the first beast, which was, you know, the body of a lion. It represents, a lion always represents England. When you look at their symbols or signs, or they've signified themselves as being England. We look at the bear, we know what the bear is. It always refers to Russia. We look at the leopard, which in the book, the beast was a leopard with four heads, okay, which represents Germany. Okay, Germany is always referred as a leopard. They have the leopard tanks, they have all this stuff, you know, that refers to them as being their leopard. Four times Germany tried to come to power, tried to take over. World War II was one of their big ones, okay? But what is really neat about this is the lion took on, it had the wings of an eagle, right? Okay? The lion had the wings of an eagle, but then it says in the book of Daniel that the wings were plucked off. Okay, of the lion. Okay, what happened to the colonists that came over here? We separated ourselves from England when we won the war, you know, right? The Revolutionary War in the 1776, right? We gained our independence. Well, the wings of the eagle, which represents the United States, were plucked off, okay? And then took on the appearance of a man. Now, for years, what have we always called ourselves, besides the eagle being our symbol? We've referred to ourselves as being Uncle Sam. So it took on the appearance of a man. And so these things, some people believe, now, there's a lot of research that go this direction and believe that, yes, the United States is mentioned in the end times because of this. Now, that's not our study tonight. But I just wanted you guys to hear this because these are things that you can study yourself. And how big a deal is it to study all this stuff and to know all this stuff? It does have some importance to it. Or Jesus wouldn't have told his disciples to look forward, to look at the end times. Now, we could go beyond, we can go overboard and get into the book of Revelations and start referring to all this stuff, and it can overwhelm you. So I don't really encourage you to go overboard, but it's still important. And it comes to the point of knowing your Bible, knowing what the Scripture says, and understanding what he's meaning. And sometimes it is confusing, but the only time you're going to understand it is to start doing all your cross-referencing. You got to just study. And there's a lot of different prophecy teachers out there, and some of them are just, I'm telling you, they're not right. But there's some of them that are. You know, there's some of them that are. My grandfather, for years, studied. He could quote the book of Revelations by heart. I've never seen anything like it. He knew the book of Daniel. He knew the book of Ezekiel. He knew the book of Isaiah. And he knew the book of Revelations. And I mean, by far, I never knew anybody that could do what he did. But referring to the fourth beast, which is the beast, the unified beast, which will be... this was the last one... it's mentioned in Daniel, the fourth beast. It says it was part leopard, part bear, part lion, and with 10 horns. That's a unified European nation that comes together, that's ruled by the Antichrist, that comes before, or comes up at the end, that will be ruled by the Antichrist. And that's what those beasts mean, okay? That's what that is. Now, these unified governments will be controlled by the Antichrist. And that will be the time where we know that the Battle of the Armageddon's coming soon. We'll know all that stuff. But where the rapture of the church fits into all that. We've studied that. You have pre-tribulation people. You have mid-tribulation people. And you have post-tribulation people. Most people believe, the majority of people believe, that we are a mid-tribulation church that will be raptured out during the first time or first part of the tribulation. And there's a lot of debate that goes along with that as well. So, but I just wanted to go over that really quickly. Just that little part right there, because how important is it in our daily lives as Christians? Do we need to understand these things? Well, I think it is really important that we understand, if we're going to talk about the last days, if we're going to read about the last days, we need to be watching. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Watch out. Because when you see these things happening, know that the time is near. Now, what do we see happening today with what I read a while ago? We could go back to Matthew 24, which I don't think Verna has it up there, but I can read through this. It says, watch out, no one deceive you, for many will come in my name claiming I am Messiah, and he will deceive many. You will hear wars and rumors of wars, but we'll see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still not come. Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines on earth, and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of the birth pains. Do we see anything like that happening today? Sure. We see all kinds of things. I mean, we could see that probably 100 years ago as well. But when we look at the Scripture closely, we find it's a little more accurate today than it was then. And it continues to get a little more accurate every year, not only by the growth of technology, but the prophecies. When we look at the prophecies that have been fulfilled now through government things that are happening all over the world. I'm not saying this to discourage anybody or to scare anybody. I'm saying this to encourage you. Because the church is waiting on the Messiah to come again. And that's an exciting time. That's what we're waiting on. Just like the old covenant where the Jews were waiting on the Messiah to come, the new covenant is the same way. We're waiting on the Messiah to return and take us home where we belong. Because we don't belong here on this earth. And that's exciting. We still don't know when that time is coming. He said, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Nobody wants to hear that, but at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. But because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I love that part. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy. And you know, the first part of that he's talking about, it'll be terrible times. I mean, we live in a country right now that's so blessed, but there's a lot of terrible stuff that happened here. There's so much wickedness going on. I hear stuff. I mean, things that are going on in just our schools, in our universities. The things that are going on, people just don't care anymore. People don't even care enough to come to church anymore that used to care. At least they respected church. Or they respected pastors. But they don't even have any respect for pastors anymore. I mean, I'm just telling the truth, right? You guys see this stuff. I mean, we have everything that's listed in our scripture. We can see it right now happening. We just see it. It's the truth. So what's the solution for the church? I mean, what do we do? Do we focus on all this negative stuff? Do we focus on all this bad stuff? No, we don't do that. Paul tells Timothy a final charge. You, however, I love this. When you start in verse 10, it said, you, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering. What kinds of things happening to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone wants to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. Everyone who does. I want you to listen to this. In fact, he says in verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Some people don't want to accept that. I know. Because that makes being a Christian hard. And Christianity's not hard. Being a Christian's not hard. It's not. Right? It is. Do you live in this world we live in today? Christianity's hard if you live it like you're supposed to. Now, I'm not getting on to you. Please don't. I'm not judging anybody. Sometimes I come off that way. I hope I don't. I hope I come out of love. It says, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse. Well, you just look at politics right there. And I'm not going to preach about politics, but you know what I'm talking about. They get bad. They get worse all the time, don't they? Where was I at? I lost my place over that one. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You know, sometimes the Word puts it on us, doesn't it? Sometimes the Word just says, hey, you're not living your life the way you should. You're not doing some of the things the way you should. Sometimes it's there and it says, hey, you did good today. You read that. You know, you witnessed to somebody. You prayed with somebody. You led somebody to Christ. Those are good things, aren't they? The Scripture gives us, it tells us that. That's good things. And there's a lot of people that do those things. But it's also there for teaching and instructing. It teaches us what to do. It teaches us how to do it. Verse 17 says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He gives us what we need. That's what the Scripture is for, is to equip us to do what? To do the job that He set before us, even in the end times. You know, and that's why He charges Paul does with Timothy with this. He says, hey, just remember all I've taught you. Remember what you've learned since you were a baby. Remember all this stuff and you'll be okay. Just keep doing it. Even though you may get persecuted, you will get persecuted. Even though these things may happen to you in your life, just keep doing it. And even though you see all these things happening around you, that you know the coming of the Lord is coming near, I just encourage you even more. I love what Paul says to Timothy in this book. This is a great book to read. A lot of encouragement in it. But talking about the end times also encourages me. It flames my passion to see people get saved. Because I know that the time is near. I know the time is coming. Because of what the Scriptures tell me and what I read, and I know that. And I believe it with all my heart. That Jesus is going to come again, and if He comes before people get saved, there's no chance for them after that. They're going to have to endure persecution, death. Talks about the Great Tribulation. There can be some saved during that time. But they're going to have to give their lives in order to be saved. But it fuels me. And I told you guys that Wednesday night, didn't I? Man, it just breaks my heart to see people not serving Jesus. It really does. And I've got family. We all do. Who don't serve Christ. We got friends, co-workers, just people we meet that doesn't know Jesus. And my heart pours out for them because I know what's going to happen. Because that's what the Word tells me. The Word tells me what's going to happen. I mean, if you knew one of your family members was going to go get in a car and drive 10 blocks down the road and get killed in a car wreck, would you not try to stop them? If you knew it. I don't think there's one of us here that wouldn't do everything we could to stop them. That's how I feel. That's what God's put in my heart. That's what I feel. I mean that. I want to do what I can. If we want to see churches grow, this concept, and it's not even a concept, it's a reality fact. has to be implanted into our hearts. We have to have this passion for people. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he told us to do. Amen? Am I right?
Amen.
Come on, church. We're not all called to be the same thing. We all have different gifts. We all have different ways of doing things. We've been put in different places in life. And it's just what God, that's how he designed it. But he said, I want you to do this, and I'm going to put you here. And while you're there, this is what I want you to do while you're there. And I want you to try to save as many people there as you can until I call you somewhere else. Does that make sense? Everywhere I've gone, I believe God's put me there for a reason. And there's been a lot of places I've been, I thought, why in the world am I here? It's true. But I always have to understand that God put me there for a reason. And there was always usually somebody there that maybe I could influence in some way. You know, I've talked to people that have been in churches for 30 years of their life, 40 years of their life, and never prayed through with somebody. Never brought anybody to Christ. Never baptized anybody. And that's sad to me. I'm sorry. I don't want to make Mark cry. Mark said, you make me cry. And my intentions are not to make you cry. I hope I'm encouraging. I hope I encourage you to study and read. I hope I encourage you to get out and witness to people. I hope I encourage you to get out and tell the good news about Jesus Christ who died for you and for me so we can go to heaven. Because that's what it's all about. This is not our home. I could keep going. This is not our place. Our place is with Him in heaven. One of these days there's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new temple here. You know, all this garbage that we deal with here is not going to be there anymore. Man, that's what it's all about, right? That's what being a Christian is. That's what being a follower of Jesus Christ is. That's our hope. It's not about, some people believe that you can get saved and that's it. You don't have to do nothing else. Jesus got the rest of it. I love what Brother Enlow said last week. He said, I like to preach. And what he said? But it's not always just preaching to the choir. He's going to get out there and he's going to preach to everybody he finds. And he does. That's one thing, if you know anything about Brother Enlow, he's a word spreader. He spreads the gospel. Everybody he meets. And ever since I've known him, since I was a young lad, when he used to come by and visit my grandpa from time to time, and everywhere you'd meet him, anybody you talk to, Enlow will pray with you, Enlow will share the gospel with you. I love that about that. And I know many others. My grandpa was like that. He was like that. And I know you know people like that too. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that people say, well, that guy, man, he's always doing this. He's always doing this. That's one thing you can tell about him. That's what I want to be. Those guys are my encouragers. Those people are. Sister Betty, she's always been an encourager for me. She's the reason Lee and I come to church. That's the truth. She's the reason that Lee and I got saved. It's a fact. And many others. Many others. I could keep going. I can keep going about all this. And you guys know people too. So where do we go from here? Church, where do we go from here? What's your desire in your heart? What's your passion in your heart? Is it for the things of this world? Is it to have a good job and make a good retirement, which is seems to be the most important thing in our lives, don't it? Especially at my age. Seems like I want to, you know, I don't want to die broke, right? But you know what Jesus said when he came to this earth? He left everything that a person could imagine in heaven. And he came here and he didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. He didn't have a house. He didn't have nothing but the clothes on his back. And he said, I don't need anything because what I have, the Father gives me what I need. And that's the way he lived the whole time, his ministry. He just lived. Didn't care about nothing else but just saving people, healing people, getting involved in people's lives. That's messy sometimes. But it's part of showing God's love to people. All right. That's my message for tonight. I hope it encourages you. I really do. I hope it inspires you to get out and talk to people, witness to people, preach to people. Tell them about Jesus, how much he loves them, how much he wants you to spend eternity with him. Amen.